pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
Is the Nerds That Know Stash here with my wonderful menagerie of freaks and scary people. Please, scary people and freaks, introduce yourselves.
I'm so scary. I'm a big scary fox.
I'm a freak. I mean, I've been told that I scare people, especially those of the male variety, but you know.
You're not scary, you're intimidating, and that's a good thing.
That is,
I guess it depends on whether or not I'm trying to be scary.
I feel like you just kind of portray this natural intimidation wave that, you know, scares people.
The aura?
Yes, the aura.
The duchessness just makes them cower.
Duchessness. That's what I was going to call it.
Oh, my.
Yes, the sheer amount of duchessness.
Yeah, that's what I was going to call it. Mm-hmm. Who's this loser in the bottom right corner?
That would be you.
Nope, that would be...
On my phone, you're in the bottom right corner.
I am in the top left corner.
Well, on the screen as it sits, that all of our viewers can see, we have Fox in the top left.
Oh, okay.
Duchess in the top right. Smurf in the bottom right. And Stash in the bottom left.
I knew it. Smurf here.
I'm the Smurf for all occasions. What do you need? Just ask.
Cocaine?
Cocaine?
Well, Smurf does have a fabulous studio space that I got to use this weekend for a photo shoot.
Yep.
Completely irrelevant to the cocaine, but thanks, Bobby.
Yes, but it's things that he has. And I felt like saying that I got to do my very first completely naked photo shoot.
Ooh, yes. Go.
Absolute Starkers. Thank God no one is in the building. So the whole second floor is ours to do with as you please. So
I was running around in just like a pair of high heels and some cat ears.
What a vision.
It was impressive. And the photographer, what an energetic, bouncing, happy little bug of joy she is. I was smitten. She's just absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Anya, yeah, she seems Anya's lovely. I want to shoot with her sometime.
She is absolutely, and she's got an incredible eye. Everything worked out well, and the studio space worked. I was happy to see some professional stuff that you'll end up on Bobby's site. So the studio space is working well. It's working like it's supposed to. Go figure. So wow, if you need to book,
you actually did something competently. I'm so proud of you.
I do it all the time. Rude. I just don't boast about it. But if you need studio space for photography, by all means, please contact me. Reasonable rates and center of town, centrally located, at your disposal.
Yeah, send me a message. It is fantastic. And when I popped by there today to show Smurf some of the prints, the whole place smelled like popcorn because they have a popcorn machine.
We do have a popcorn machine. One of the accounts that we have that we do marketing for is a sunflower seed oil company that is absolutely spectacular. It has tremendous health benefits. So we pop our popcorn in their sunflower seed oil. So we do the marketing and all of the branding for them online.
Awesome. That sounds tasty.
Yeah. We stay busy here at 5280. We don't just sit around and play video games, Stash.
I will have you know I rarely play video games. Even if this weekend I played so many video games.
Yeah.
Y'all,
over half of that was with my partner playing a co-op game. So, yes.
Right. Y'all, I know I'm a little late on this, but I finally just played the, a few days ago, started playing the update for Stardew Valley 1.5, and it fucking owns bones. It's like a whole ass DLC that they don't make you pay for because they're Stardew Valley.
Nice. I like it.
Does it make you happy? Awesome.
It makes me happy. It owns Bones.
I heard a lot of good things about that update when it came out on PC. I was just waiting for it to come out for you.
I know, and then I think I missed the news when it did come out for consoles, but what matters is I'm playing it now and I'm having a great time.
True.
Went down the rabbit hole, didn't you?
I sure did.
Would we expect nothing less from a fox?
True story.
Well, we have a plethora of news for all of you. Where should we begin, my friend?
We do have quite a bit. So let's go ahead and start with one that I was personally a little surprised by, and that is Jupiter's Legacy has been canceled. Hard canceled. Nobody on the cast is happy with this decision or was expecting this decision. And there's already a rumor of a spin-off show.
Smurf, what were you going to say?
Well, and it wasn't even so much as how this was delivered. It wasn't even like the show was canceled. None of the actors were renewed for their contracts. This is how they received the news. I'm sorry, we're not renewing your contract. So Josh Duhamel, which is the utmost in class, basically said, okay. So then he starts posting pictures of himself without his shirt on in his utopian hairstyle. The dude is ripped. My God, that man is just in shape. And he's all like, well, maybe Hulu's looking for a new series. And I mean, basically, shots fired. The rumors of the spinoff series are semi-true, but I don't understand is Netflix spends all of this money. It is one of the highest budgeted series that Netflix has ever produced, and they whack it. And I don't understand why.
I don't
get it.
I really feel like I know Netflix is all about the one season and then canceling things that are underperforming. But I really felt that the first season was just setting up so much stuff that the second season was going to be the one that was more successful and hit a lot better.
Yeah, because there was so much more. I mean, and even how they composed this season, there was a lot of elements for different series that they pulled together to do it. So there were multiple comic books that they sampled to put this story arc together. And the series that they're talking about doing is called Super Crooks, which is out of the utopian universe. So, I mean, they're still kind of plugged into that. So I don't know why the sudden shift or that they're going to somehow bring all of them over. I don't know. It's baffling, especially if you're going to spend that much on a budget. I would at least give it 2 seasons. It just seems like a waste of money to me.
Yeah. I agree. I really wonder how they're going to continue or do a branch off series with the cliffhanger they had at the end of the first season.
Oh yeah,
well, because that completely changes everything potentially.
Yes.
And are they going to do it before that change or after? Are they going to completely discount what may or may not be happening? It's very interesting.
Well, it depends on where they pick up in Super Crooks on the impact of that. And I don't know. It would have to be after, especially with the cliffhanger, like you said, from the end of season one. So
it sounds like they might be just starting the spinoff show in the middle of where season one was before all of the kids join, you know, the group anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just severely disappointed because I mean, it wasn't overwhelmingly like wowing, but I was engaged enough that I wanted to keep watching. I didn't want to stop. So, and even like you said, the cliffhanger was great. It was the perfect blend of everything kind of culminating together and just like, wow, that sucks. So
yeah.
It just seems such a waste.
Yeah, so they say that the reported numbers are $200 million so far spent on Jupiter's Legacy. And Super Crooks, which is the same world, like we were just saying, is going to take place in 1930s, 1940s, when they're reshaping the world right after they all get their powers.
Okay.
So... who are they going to have be all of these characters since they don't have any of the same actors? And these characters, although it's only been for one season, they have been established by these actors.
Yeah, because, I mean, all of them were in World War II. I mean, so all of them would be coming out of World War II and starting to establish, you know, the team. And the ideals and the rules and all that. So I don't get it. I really don't. Yeah. And I really would not want to be on Josh Duhamel's bad side. I really wouldn't. the man's lethal. That's all I'm saying.
I would like to be on his any side, to be totally honest. But that has nothing to do with the TV show.
None whatsoever.
Well,
speaking of people whose sides I'd like to be on.
What were you going to say, Stash? You had one more point?
Oh, I was just going to be like, what are they expecting from the second series? Because if they like suddenly see success, but they already alienated all the actors from the first season of this series, what the hell are they going to do? They can't like just abandon that series.
I don't know. I mean, and it's not like Josh Duhamel has already got like jobs lined up. I mean, he's a busy guy. He's got a couple of new movies coming out, another series. He's already booked. So that means if they were going to try and bring him back, even like Leslie Bibb, I know she's already in high demand. So these are two prominent actors. I don't think we can get back to Jupiter's Legacy for a while if they decide to move forward with them. I don't know.
What I don't understand is, like, okay, so spinoffs are generally for successful shows. So why would you cancel the main show but greenlight a spinoff? I don't understand this move.
So, lower budget?
Yeah. So $200 million to make one season with live action, very expensive. The spinoff is going to be animated.
I don't think they're going to see success.
They're not going to compete with Invincible.
No, not at all.
It's not that kind of story. It really
is. No. And what they're calling the first season the origin season. With the, we're confident we'll return to it later.
I'm not.
Well, if you alienate all your actors, how are you going to do that?
Yeah. Because I tell you right now to piss off if you did that.
Absolutely. Pound sand, bitches.
Yeah. It's really interesting. They're trying to compete with Netflix's two of Amazon's most successful series. And with one IP, that's very strange.
Well, and to be fair, Millar's worlds that he builds and honestly, if I was Netflix, this isn't even what I would focus on. I would actually go after the Wanted series. The Wanted series is a way better built world and story, because in Wanted, all of the heroes have been eliminated and the criminals won. So the movie that we saw with Angelina Jolie isn't even close to what the comic book was. Comic book was just twisted as fuck. And I thought,
I didn't realize that's what you were referencing.
Oh yeah. Wanted is great. It's a great comic book series. Of course, it only ran for like, it was a 6-issue limited series and it was beautiful. And the villains are basically running the world. The heroes got defeated. So
I've always liked arcs like that.
Yeah, and it's great. So you've got basically villains facing off against villains, and there's a bigger bad guy behind killing other bad guys, and it's really kind of well built. But That would be, I think, the money train to go for an animated series, because there's some stuff that goes on in that comic that you can't reproduce. There's like this villain that's made out of shit, literally made out of shit. He's even he's got Hitler shit in him. He's like contrived of all the evilest people's waste possible. This is how Mark Millar's mind works.
Well, that is. It gives a whole new meaning to the term Toxic Avenger.
Oh my God, you have no idea. So we'll see. I don't know. There are a lot of other Mark Millar stories out there. I understand why he's a hot commodity. He's a great writer. He comes up with some very interesting concepts. I just think that he's ahead of the curve on this, and Netflix is being dumb. I really do.
I think so too. It's interesting. We'll see. But the thing I find so strange is that they're greenlighting Skull and Bones for a second season at the same time.
Yeah. But I really like Skull and Bones. Yeah, not Skull and Bones. Bones and Ash or
Shadow and Bones?
Ash. It was not Shadow. Called Skull and Bones.
Oh, sorry. I was.
Damn you and your stupid head.
Shadow and Bone?
Shadow and Bone.
Yes. Actually, I like that show, and it's way better than the books. Don't read the books. The books suck. The books aren't even as exciting as the series was. So, and there's like different stuff pulled from on the books. So it's even shot out of order. So don't waste your time on the books. Just watch the show. And I like the show. The show is actually very compelling.
I mean, I got halfway through it, and I was like, this is kind of tropey, so I stopped, but
it was extremely tropey.
I'll try and get back to it.
I really enjoyed the show. I watched it all in one sitting.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I mean, Go ahead.
I just don't understand why they would greenlight that series. I don't... Do you think it was more successful?
I don't know.
And probably cheaper to make.
Oh, it's definitely cheaper to make.
I don't know. Those sets were kind of elaborate, the costuming, all of that. I mean, maybe I guess with the the effects. I mean, are about the same.
No, I'm looking it up.
Jupiter had like those insane costumes. And those are so expensive to make. Like, superhero costumes are insanely expensive to make and make well. I would assume that series budget is probably at least half again.
Yeah, but when you look at, like, Shadow and Bone, the elaborate costuming that all of the guards wore, not to mention, like, the heroes. I mean, but the costuming in that was great.
Yeah, but that's all traditional costuming. That's way cheaper to find. Like, you can rent that stuff from costume stores. I mean,
go down to the wizard's chest. Buy me a coat.
So, Shadow and Bone had more than 55 million member households view it in the first 28 days that it was out.
Okay.
Right? So it made the top 10 list in 93 countries. Around the world and hit number one in 79 of those countries.
I mean, Jupiter Legacy was number one in the US. I know that when it dropped.
Yeah, and these are some of the reasons why it was so successful and why it's being picked up again. I'm looking for the budget numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me either. I don't get it. I figured
you can't compare them because they're such different types of series.
Well, and to be fair, Shadow and Bone probably has a much wider audience net than Jupiter's Legacy. I mean,
Legacy, I think, is a more male-centric series, whereas the other one appeals to multiple genders a little more equally.
Yeah,
traditional tropes, I would say.
Well, in the book series, I mean, there are a lot of books in that series. So I'm not surprised that it didn't go everywhere. I mean, it's kind of like the next Harry Potter. So I'm not Olympus gods. So I'm not surprised.
Also, Shadow and Bone, around $28 million.
Yeah. That's it? Wow.
Yeah, so a tenth of what it costs. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah, that is definitely my answer.
There you go.
Which is even less than Witcher.
Yeah, but Witcher
was not cheap.
No, but Witcher, yeah, Witcher, but
Witcher
was
is
worth
less
it.
Than Jupiter's Legacy.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
but
better
Jupiter
story
Legacy was like a it was a showboat of special effects.
No, no, I'm not saying that it wasn't. I'm just saying that that's all playing into account. $200 million dollars for one season. That's apparently even more expensive than the most expensive of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sure. Plus, Morgana says, also, Shadow and Bone already has an incredibly sexy villain. Even sexier than George the Librarian.
Yes, a sexy, age-appropriate villain. Let's just put that out there. So, and he was great in The Punisher. I thought he was great. He was awesome.
So,
I'll be curious to see how this fleshes out. I think what they have is Mark Millar on contract to sample all of his different stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a revisit to Hit Girl and them trying to bring that series into it. So, I would just wait and see what happens. There's something bigger at play here.
I hope so.
Just wait and see. That's all we can do when it comes to Netflix.
Yeah. It just seems like such a waste of an investment to build all that up and just
piss it away. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is what they're fighting for. And that is the top spot from Amazon as The Boys just continues to roll on like the well-oiled machine that it is. And Garth Ennis laughs his ass off.
We have seen for Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy, Soldier Boy, Soldier Boy. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, please and thank you.
All right. So please tell me a little bit about Soldier Boy from the source material, Smurf.
So Soldier Boy is basically like Captain America, but has some serious PTSD. And how we saw last year, the one character that was immortal that got beat up by the chicks. He's of the same vein. He is very, he's old. The guy is like fucking ancient, but he doesn't age just like Maeve, or not Maeve. I can't think of her name at the moment. So
yeah,
he basically goes through a very traumatic experience and he snaps. And he's a key component in the story later on to taking down the Seven and all of that. So I'm curious to see if they follow that storyline from the comic and how closely they get to just how much of a head case Soldier Boy is, because he's got some serious rage issues, serious ones. He's even worse than Homelander sometimes.
It's nice to see Jensen Ackles getting some work outside of Supernatural.
Oh my God, he hit the ground running.
Shiza has this man beefed up. Like, Jensen Ackles, I thought, was always very attractive. Like, I've always been much more into Dean anyway.
Are you watching Texas Ranger?
I'm not.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Because I kind of thought Sam was a whiny bitch. So, like, Jared Padalecki doesn't have my love.
Ooh, Sam's sorry. My type. He's my type.
He's totally Roland's type.
That makes sense. That checks out.
Hi Mike, thanks for watching. But Jensen is my type, like right there. And then to watch the workout videos that we've been seeing of him, it does not suck.
Well, I'm happy for you, Bobby. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, I'm glad the Spank Bank is there for you. I don't know what to say about that.
Congratulations.
Congratulate. Opa! I mean, the costuming looks great from the comic book side. I think as they continue to carry this
series. Loving the beard, though.
It goes away. I've already seen a picture of him in the costume without the beard.
Yeah, I know. So, but right now, I'm not loving the beard. I've seen other pictures, but
no, he doesn't he doesn't have a beard face.
Yeah, the thing is, like, shaving a beard is a good visible representation of change. So that's probably.
And I get that. I'm just not personally a facial hair person.
I am aware. I think we all are.
Well, and if you're not, you are now.
Yeah. Would you still love me if I had a beard?
Only you.
So do we have a release window for this next season?
No, I know they're knee deep in filming. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see it until the end of the year, like we did similar to last season. So it's gonna I think it's gonna be a busy like November, December viewing this year.
See, I was thinking it would be next year.
I don't know. And maybe at the beginning of next year, it's hard to say. I don't know with all of the delays and Rona and all
William,
that stuff.
Hey, William, thanks for watching. Let's see if I can find anything.
It's difficult to say if they're on track or not. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see it till November, December. So that means we're going to have Mandalorian, Boba Fett, The Boys, Star Trek, Umbrella. Holy fuck, that's a lot of viewing.
Can't wait for Umbrella.
Umbrella looks so good.
Fox, by the way, would you like to introduce the fifth member of our show today?
Yes, the unofficial mascot of the Nerds That Know podcast. This is River, aka Princess Fluffy Butt Wiggle Buns.
Right. True.
She doesn't have a tail, so instead of wagging her tail, she wiggles her buns.
Yeah, I call her Princess Wiggle Butt, but, you know, I'm not.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's Fluffy Buns Wiggle Butt, because the Fluffy Buns part comes from, oh, what is that game? You know, the one.
That one, Fallout?
What is the, no, the game where.
Far Cry?
No, it's like a. 16 or 24 bit game. It's has a huge cult following, and you are like a kid that falls into the underworld where there's like monsters, and the combat system is literally just like you're like moving around trying not to hit pixels that are flying, but like it's a really funny game and really like emotionally effective. There's a bunch of different ways that it can turn out. Ugh, fuck. Why do I not remember this?
I had nothing.
Yeah, there's way too many games that could be for me. So
it's sorry, like, Fox. It's like Earthbound, but it's not Earthbound.
Okay. Right. I'm sure it'll come to you. It'll maybe in the middle of the night, and then we will get some random text to you.
Yeah, listeners, if you got this, then, you know, put it up in the chat, please.
Gold star! So we'll see what happens with The Boys. I'm excited to see how many more characters we get from the comics. And I'm just impressed. And I think this is why Netflix is just freaking the fuck out, because they have no way. They have no way to compete with this.
Yeah.
Well, especially with Amazon purchasing MGM, it's like their lunch is about to be eaten.
Yeah, I mean the closest thing to it, I would agree, is probably Umbrella Academy, but they're a little bit different in a lot of respects, and I think The Boys are a lot more brutal than Umbrella is willing to be, especially if you follow the comic.
Yeah, Umbrella doesn't cross into gore at all.
No.
It's dark, and it's emotionally draining and deals with really heavy themes, but it's not graphic.
It can be a little graphic.
You don't like to defend Umbrella. We all still love it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
But I mean, we're coming into a very interesting period for Umbrella, because this is the Sparrows, and this is a new group that's formed by the founder of the Umbrella. So it's extremely curious to see how they play this out and where it goes, because this is kind of like a gray area in the comics.
Yeah, which actually is the perfect segue over into the big thing that Stash, Fox, and I were talking about while we were waiting for Smurf to join us earlier tonight. And that's that Netflix has a bunch of Netflix exclusives coming out this month. And holy crap, they are all over the place.
They are very strange. The only one I remember is the one about a documentary about cats. but like, no, they are really, they're just throwing money at a dartboard trying to see what sticks, man. It's like the sheer number of Netflix exclusives that are coming out this month is obscene. And like, they cross all breaths and genres. It's a very strange market attempt, like, approach.
Yeah, it's Kitty Love is the one that Stash is talking about. It just came out on June 5th. It's an homage to Cats. Documentary on Cats, that's all you need to know.
Apparently, that's it.
That's the only descriptor about it that's available right now.
Okay.
But there's sci-fi thrillers. There's new seasons of brand new shows that are Netflix originals. There's new movies and documentaries and cartoons. And
we should be getting Lost in Space back, right? Final season for Lost in Space?
I think
not this month. At least I didn't see it on this month's list.
There's still one season left to Lost in Space, just like Lucifer.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to do one more and then they're canceling it. That's right. I think they got hit by the corona really hard, though.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They
shut down their production.
Fuckers.
So, I'm sorry. I enjoyed that series. If it
I did too.
Separate from the original intellectual property.
You just got to look past that. Just get over that.
Once you do, it's actually a pretty good series. I really like the look into the human frailties of what it is to be a human in space.
Yep. Dr. Smith is great. I think it's one of the best characters.
Perfect.
If it was called anything else.
Huh?
Lost in Space. If it was called anything else, I would like
to. Oh, yeah. It was called anyone else. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It just needs a different title.
It should just be Space.
Yeah.
Space.
You know, people in space. Crazy shit that happens in space.
And there's that other series with Katie Sackhoff, Life Forms. Isn't that supposed to come back this year as well?
That I'm unfamiliar with.
I believe so. But again, that's not on the list for this month.
Gotcha. Wow.
Although Fox was discussing that Netflix has been going over to the kinky side of things and being all sexy, sexy. And there is a brand new show that comes out this month that's called Sex and Life, which is the drama in a love triangle.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
And that comes out at the end of the month.
I'm right there, Fox.
As a polyamorous person, currently in a loving open triad, love triangles are annoying to me.
Love triads are good. Love triangles are bad.
It's just like, oh, it's such an overused trope and such an unhealthy way to look at I won't get started.
I agree.
Hey, Fifty Shades of Grey.
You know, maybe expect to have a little side bit just from Fox on that one show. I wouldn't be surprised.
One or
it
two.
May be a 45-minute long soapbox episode, but it could be a thing.
I look forward to it. Can't wait.
You know, there's also going to be a new Seven Deadly Sins anime series that comes out.
It's not a new series. It's a new season.
Oh, excuse me. The new season. That's what I meant. It's Dragon's Judgment. is what's
yes. And we'll see how it goes. That series has been like the temple series for Netflix anime.
Yeah, no, I've seen the first couple of series or seasons. So
yeah, and it's actually pretty good. It's nothing amazing. There's better ones out there, but Netflix has had a lot of like really shitty ones. So it's good to see them have success with certain anime series. Like High Rise King or High Rise something, I don't remember. That animated series was just awful. It was so boring.
I have to interrupt y'all. I'm sorry. The game that I was trying to think of is called Undertale. Undertale is the game.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you're talking about I knew it was going to happen.
Modern series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were referencing like a old school series.
Yeah, when you said 8-bit, I'm like,
well, it's not. It's like 16 or 24 bit. Does it go to 32 bit after 16? The point is, there's plenty of old timey graphics, modern games. I'm playing Stardew Valley right now.
Yep.
Ooh, so yeah, no, and Netflix is just, I don't know if they're trying to figure out anime because they've got all these different series and like stuff that looks like it's going to go somewhere and you don't really honestly know. So I'm waiting to see if some of the series comes back or if they actually just kind of ended where they ended and that's it.
I don't know, honestly. That's the thing. It's like the stuff I would expect to see come back doesn't come back.
Yeah.
But then stuff I thought wouldn't come back, like Scissor 7, got a second season.
Hmm.
It did?
I told you we were supposed to watch it before you moved out.
Well, nice flirt. I'm forgetful.
I'm just looking forward to He-Man. I don't care about the rest of the returning or any of the new shit. I want some He-Man action. I can't wait for that show.
You know, it's actually interesting that you bring that up. There's been a lot of discussion about the new He-Man versus the new She-Ra that came out a few years ago. And the fact that the new He-Man is going to be sticking much closer to the original He-Man than
nothing
the new She-Ra did.
Yep.
Because their excuse for that was that, you know, She-Ra was not as well known even in its own time, which as a She-Ra aficionado, I am offended by this.
Even if it is true.
Your face.
What about it?
It's stupid.
I doubt that.
He's actually right on this.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It's like
hi Jacob, thanks for joining. We're gonna cut Stash off by saying hi to some of our viewers. We have Jacob, William, Mike, and Morgana on with us tonight. So hi everybody.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us.
The only thing that was good that came out of She-Ra was Hordak. That's about it.
This is incorrect. So moving on and ignoring the boys.
Oh my god. Well, okay, so before we move on, He-Man, do you think them sticking close to the series is actually the right call?
I do, actually.
Because it, you know, and we've said this 100 times on this show, if not more, nostalgia sells.
Well, so this isn't the first foray back into the He-Man universe. They've done two other failed animated series. One, actually, that was pretty good. It was weird shading, but, I mean, it worked. But for Kevin Smith to take this on and kind of pick up where the 80s one was, I think that that's probably the smarter play because everybody loved that He-Man. Everyone was pissed at the Dolph Lundgren film that it had, like, nothing to do really with the He-Man cartoon series. So there was a lot of backlash. There's a lot of love for the original He-Man line. And I think right now you're hitting
everyone at
the right age point that they want a Skeletor. They like, yeah, He-Man. We want that, god damn it.
But is now a time for a lame superhero that doesn't really confront villains and isn't very compelling on his own. There are compelling characters in He-Man, but He-Man is not one of them.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what Kevin Smith's take on this is. Because, I mean, Kevin Smith, for me, okay, he had a failed Spider-Man series. But before that, he had a very compelling Green Arrow series with a character that is kind of, like you said, more, you know, side, and his supporting characters are more impressive. And then you had what he did with Daredevil, which was absolutely a brilliant story with one of the lesser B-League Marvel characters. Kevin Smith's got some tremendous skills when it comes to writing when he has time and he applies himself. So I have the utmost faith, and I think he's a hardcore He-Man fan. So, and you got new animation, so it's not going to be the hokey, you know, jerky running same background regardless of where they are in Eternia scene. So maybe we'll see something fun. I don't know. We will see hokey.
Do you think we will see a revitalized toy line if the series is successful?
Absolutely. Oh, it's already, we already have. They've got the remastered He-Man series that's been going strong for the last year and a half, 2 years. So they've even re-released the vehicles, a lot of the figures from back in the day.
Yep. You can get Cringer.
Yep, Battle Cat, Skeletor's Panthro, or whatever the hell they call that thing. Yeah, the only thing they haven't released yet is Moss Man, and I hear he's like a force in the new He-Man cartoon, so I'm waiting for my Moss Man, because everybody likes a man made out of grass.
If I met a man made out of grass, I would marry him on the spot. I love grass.
Exactly.
You really marry a man, Fox.
I wouldn't marry a straight man.
There you go.
He's made out of grass. Who knows which way the wind blows?
I told my mom. I was talking to my mom the other day.
If the wind blows too strongly, he won't be a man at all anymore.
Exactly. See? Just get that man in a fan and you're good to go.
Fox, what was your story? You were talking to your mom?
Yeah, I was talking to my mom a couple days ago about trying to find a new place. And I go, I will never live with or date a straight man again in my life. And my mom goes, well, what about your boyfriend? Isn't he straight? And I go, Mom, he's a bisexual drag queen.
Was living with me that bad?
So you are not like most straight men.
And I once lived in a house.
I once lived in a house with four straight men, and it was simply awful.
That sounds
very bad.
Okay. On a happier note, other than the fact that Stash sucks, one of our viewers tonight, Mark, says the old Moss Man action figure was a scratch and sniff. So you could scratch the Moss Man.
It's made out of foamy, like, velour. It was great. They're going to do the same thing again.
Yeah, so it was a scratch and sniff.
He smelled action like pine. Figure. Yep, he smelled like one of those room air deodorizers for the car. It was great. And he felt all felty, so they're going to be bringing him back with the new Mattel line.
The new one should smell like actual moss.
Like Bruce Boost moss? Or oh, hello.
Instead of like...
Is somebody being called?
Cheeky's calling me. Sorry, my bad.
But no, I agree. The original Moss Man was awesome. I loved him. I got him somewhere. I don't know where. He's not in this room.
All right. Trash. Well, other good things that are happening on Netflix. Sweet Tooth.
Wow. That's all I got to say is,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this is a very weird series. I'm only 4 episodes in, but it is, this is intense.
So when Jeff Lemire wrote this series for Vertigo, I don't know if he ever envisioned this crossing over to TV or media, but I mean, it's heavy shit, and it's just, wow. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because you can't even talk about it with like giving away shit from like the first episode. And it just keeps like escalating more and more with every episode. So I'm like an episode ahead of you right now, Stash, because it's some heavy watching.
I'm on episode 7.
It's in depth.
And there's only 8 episodes in total.
Mm-hmm.
The character development, in my opinion, is intense.
Mm-hmm.
The way they do the flashbacks is crazy.
The cinematography is phenomenal. Special effects are impressive. Yeah. I really like the framing device of the narrator. I think who they got to narrate was a very wise choice. And I feel like it creates a cohesive universe in a way it very rarely works. But they did it in this one. And it is very nice to see.
It is. And I almost, when I'm watching it, I can almost hear like Jeff Lemire's voice, the author of the comic series. It's almost like I could hear him coming through, like with his notes or what his emotions as he was writing the comic. And I think I absolutely right, Stash. It really adds a lot of depth to the world building and the characters that they're portraying at the time. So I think the narrative of it is great, but just wow, it is some heavy watching.
Yeah. Well, and James Brolin just does such a great job setting up each episode and then tying it in at the end and then setting it back up.
But am I the only one that kept hearing Thanos? I mean, really? Come on. It was driving me nuts. Really? That's all I kept hearing was just Thanos telling me a story. And on this world, after I destroyed it.
See, I was picturing the voice, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, yes.
That's what I was picturing the entire time. And I was like, this is weird.
I like that series. That's another one I wish they'd do again.
I absolutely love it, but it's still very strange with something like this.
I think is interesting is Christian Convery is only 11 years old. The kid who plays Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a phenomenal job.
He is.
He's 11.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stranger Things taught us that, child actors definitely have jobs. So,
yeah, give him a shot.
Yeah. Well, I expect to see a lot of stuff come from this kid. I'm looking at his IMDb now. And, you know, he's already known for a handful of movies. He did Playing with Fire back in 19. He was, you know, kind of an unnamed, an 8-year-old boy in Venom. But for the most part, he's just not really done much that's not in post-production.
No, that's fine. I'm perfectly okay. I like what he's delivering. So
I agree. Most of what he's done prior to this have been like the made for TV movies for like Hallmark Channel Christmas specials.
All right. But I mean, the problem with child actors though, you got to move on this production because he's got to stay with the character. So there's some challenges there.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure we'll see it. We'll see another season for Sweet Tooth. I'm absolutely sold on that notion.
Yeah.
I don't see him abandoning this.
Too soon. Yeah, I don't either. It's just like Black Mirror. You can only watch a couple episodes at a time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just too heavy. I couldn't imagine trying to binge watch this series.
I did 5 episodes back to back.
That's awful.
It's like watching the entire season of Game of Thrones. You're just like burnt out at the end of that. No. Yeah. Oh.
A nap was necessary.
I believe that.
Yeah. But I'm very impressed with what they're doing. This type of storytelling, it's very interesting because I've never experienced a type of storytelling like this from a comic. Mm-hmm. I've only experienced it from book adaptations specifically. And I'm very impressed with what they're doing. It is so well done.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, Vertigo had some impressive stories. We'll see what happens when we get Sandman coming out soon, I think. Or is that next year?
I think that got pushed.
Yeah, so yeah. Sandman's another absolutely perfect Vertigo story that's you're getting in a lot more than what you would expect. So
I was going to say, I know that Neil Gaiman has declined a lot of offers to adapt Sandman. So if this is something that he's really, really happy with, I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, well, he's gone on saying that he's getting dailies from, you know, the show frequently. He's seeing like full episodes being completed. So he is in the middle of this. So he, like you said, Fox, he wanted to make sure it was right before he did it. And for them to do it, I'm very anxious to see what they do. I hope they do like the first six issues, which is like brilliant because they bring in Cain and Abel. They've got, you know, the release of Sandman. You don't get Death till a little later. And of course you get Lucifer, which I'm very, whoa. And then there was a voice from above.
The tank has arrived.
As we lost our...
Now we are whole again. All right, so Tank, we were just discussing Sweet Tooth, and nobody wants to say anything because they don't want to give anything away. But
you can't. You really can't.
Is just holy fuck.
Oh, it's amazing. Yes.
You can't. I can't. I want to talk about it, but you can't. You just give shit away. You got to watch it. Watch the first episode, and we'll talk more in depth next week. Because it is wow. But that's Vertigo. That's what you expected from Vertigo. I think this was the stronger line for DC as far as the writing is concerned, and it was more novel-esque. To your point, yeah. Stash, because the stories and the characters were intended for mature audiences. There weren't just stuff that they're like, let's just throw this out there. There was an overall arc. There was an end game in mind when they were writing Vertigo stories. So, and Sweet Tooth falls directly into that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, huge.
Is the best when it's written like this, and they did such a good job.
No, wait till you, if they, well, the Lucifer series didn't even come close to the comics, but there was a lot of that in there. I'm hoping that they'll touch on it more with Sandman, with a new Lucifer and a new Death, because Death is now being portrayed. And then I don't know, Constantine. A new Constantine is just really weird because it's a Doctor Who companion and it's Joanna Constantine instead of John Constantine.
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how this is portrayed.
Well, see, that's the weird part about Constantine, though. Why? I get the gender bend a little bit, but he's kind of sexual.
Yes, and that's fine. But it's just a weird. Jenna Louise Coleman is not who I would have visioned as a female Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
She's
what do you mean? Because I know he's like. Bi, but why would him being pansexual affect the gender bend?
Go ahead, Tank.
From the perspective of the comic book character, that it's very specific to, in the comic book at least, him being male and having that all the sexual proclivities that he has, it's very specific to that in the comic book. And him being male is part of that. At least in the comic book.
And it could be easily gender bent, but I just don't think Jenna Louise Coleman is an assertive actress to pull off that kind of dominance that Constantine wields, because Constantine is a force and he will do whatever is necessary to his end goal. And when I think of Jenna Louise Coleman, I think of Doctor Who's companion, who's kind of, I mean, she was okay, but she still just didn't have the voice that I would come to expect from a Constantine. Because even the guy that they've got playing from Legends, I think he would be great. But even in what they're kind of portraying for Sandman, I don't even know if he'd be strong enough for it.
So here the problem isn't that the actor portraying the character is male or female. It's that the actor portraying the character you don't feel is strong enough for the character.
No, not at all.
She comes off a little cutesy, but I don't know. I mean, maybe she has the chops.
It's possible. We'll see. And I don't... And maybe it's a different kind of Constantine, especially it depends on how they portray her, but it is the same Constantine that we have seen through multiple stories of DC, the Hellraiser, and all of that story. And in Hellraiser, yeah, he's very pansexual and he's very dominant. So I just don't know if she's dominant enough. But yeah, when you look her up, every time she's always in the cute little teacher plaid skirt and the little cashmere sweater and, you know, the little white collar.
I love that look.
You're perfect. I'm not saying it's not. I love the look, too. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the look. But that's not Constantine.
No, it's not Constantine. And my plaid skirt is purple.
Constantine swears a shit ton, smokes like a fucking train, and is constantly drunk. That is so, Constantine.
Yes.
I was thinking the actor who played Jessica Jones would be perfect casting for Constantine.
She would. Now, see, that is a perfect casting for Constantine. However, her contract's been renewed by Marvel, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see Jessica Jones pop up over there.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen.
But she, as to your point, yes, she is what I would envision as Constantine. That is Constantine.
And as it is, like, Robert Downey Jr. doing the DC Marvel crossover, you know, by helping produce Sweet Tooth.
That's kind of...
That doesn't really count.
It's Sweet Tooth, it's not Superman.
It's not Superman. It's Vertigo.
But it's still technically a DC property.
By the... Yes.
I said technically.
Yes. It's the same way that's a DC property that, you know... I don't know. I can't even think of a comparison on Marvel's side. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars is a Marvel property. It's a Marvel property, but kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
It's got its own rules and laws.
Shades of Grey, my friends. Shades of Grey.
Or Aliens. Aliens is a good example, too.
Like Aliens.
Barely a Marvel thing.
While we just mentioned Star Wars, Smurf got incredibly excited when we discussed that the Star Wars Lego sets have been revealed.
So cool. I'm going to go freaking nuts in the Lego store this year. I have spent so much money already in the Lego store.
Because that'll be different than every other year.
It's, you know, it's getting worse because the sets are larger and they're costing more money. And
you're running out of room in your house for this stuff. You know that, right? You need to buy another house.
I know. The whole third floor is just inundated with comics, statues, and a Lego city and a broken wall. So I'm just beside myself. I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
Going to have to get another house or, like, just turn your garage into Lego Central.
Oh, it gets too cold out there. I don't have a heater in the garage.
Oh, well, whose fault is that?
The garage's fault.
Well, then have it finished.
I'm not running heat out to the garage so I can storm a lake. Well,
I was gonna say, really?
Not really. I can probably see it. Because it's really getting complicated, especially with, like, when you have the Haunted Mansion that came out this year, the Friends sets. So I've incorporated that into a couple of modular builds. So I have my central perk and the apartment above. But above them, of course, is the Big Bang Theory apartment. So it's just...
It's a Lego city. We get it.
It's getting out of control. So out of control. And now I'm going to have to add more space for Star Wars stuff. And I like the Bad Batch Lego set. It looks great. It's awesome. But nothing compares... to Lego Masters Season 2. Oh yeah. I've decided that I'm going to train for Lego Masters Season 3, and I'm going to try and do the builds on the show at home so that next year I'm ready to go. So I just need a partner.
Yes, yeah, you should do it. Make a good stream.
Say that again?
That'd make a good stream.
I think so.
Tank should do it with you. He used to be way more into Legos than he has been since he had children.
Still am, just kids.
Yeah, they take all the good pieces.
They need small parts.
Which is why I'm saying you guys should do it together.
You could make some decent money if you did it on Twitter in the nude.
Put on cat ears, I'll put it on my website.
The whole new bromance right there. We're building a bromance. You like that?
There we go.
Well, see, Stash has now moved up to the line of, you know, Windows with Rowan and myself. So you and Tank are alone and isolated on the bottom for our viewers. So you already have that bromance love happening.
Oh, yes.
Sounds good. Now, are we going to be in the same stream, like we're both in the same video, or are we going to be on the same camera?
We'd have to probably be in the same camera together.
Yeah, and like actually, you know, like, hey, Smurf, hand me that brown piece.
Oh, brown piece.
So what we do is we'll have a table with all of our pieces on it, and of course we won't have shirts on. No. And we'll only show you right above the money shot right there. You
just
know,
tall enough to see the hip bones.
The lines right there.
If they're both right around the same height, it'll work.
It would work.
And if they want to see more, they got to pay.
That's right.
That's when you go to the OnlyFans.
Yeah. Show me the money.
OnlyFans Legos.
Oh, my God.
Hi, thanks for joining in and watching us tonight.
So dirty. I'm going to build the House of Pain. Okay, no, that's just not right. No, there's something wrong here.
Yes,
that's my
fantastic
quest.
I love it. I think this is a fantastic idea. I support this 100%.
Of course you do, Bobby.
Of course.
And I demand 5% for accepting this idea.
You're the producer role? Is that it? Executive producer? All right. Yeah. Fair enough. We need someone to like bring us drinks, because if we lock up from behind
totally
the table.
I will totally be drink bitch. I will even make you snacks.
I will be nowhere near this.
Yeah, you will.
I am that level of supportive. I will make you snacks.
We'll tag you in, Stash.
It'll We're going to need an inventive
But there'll be
again,
snacks that don't make your fingers oily, so that way they don't interfere with the Lego making.
Exactly. It'll be perfect.
See? We have a plan.
Perfect. That's the word I would use for it.
Oh my God. dirty Lego City.
Speaking of Bad Batch, what have you guys thought? You are our two primary watchers. Has it been developing well?
It's developing. I'm still not sold on Echo. They're kind of trying to ramp it up now, where you kind of got the tease of Ahsoka. So the story is now starting to build up. We've got buy-in for the characters. I don't know how many episodes it's going is my only problem. I
thought it was supposed to be 16.
But... if it's 16, then we're going into a good, strong second act. There's already some, you know, foreshadowing of one of the Bad Batch going worse. So that's kind of...
I'm waiting.
A worse batch. He's gone from bad to worse.
It's interesting in its own ways. I want more story.
I do too. I want something other than Echo getting into trouble as the foil, and it's repetitive.
That's a problem I'm having right now.
It's not
a bad show. And no. If you kind of understand the path that the Star Wars generally takes, you can kind of see where it's going, and it's going to have a good payoff. But
building up to it,
the week is not where it needs to be. I don't think.
Nope.
In the storytelling,
it's not Mandalorian.
No, not anywhere near as good as
Mandalorian. No, and I don't think that it was trying to be. I think it's trying to be a filler until Mandalorian is ready.
And that's fine. And I know I can see it. It definitely is strong for the kid vein.
Yes.
There are some good stories for kids. So it may not be for every Star Wars fan and as action packed as Tank and I would hope, but it definitely itches a scratch for the kids, trying to keep people just engaged and just kind of like, ooh, who are we going to see next type of thing. So
it kind of reminds me of when they did the Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers thing on.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's cool because it's the characters you like, and you know, it's an interesting story in some parts, but it plods along a little bit at times, and it's, you know, just kind of.
Oh,
yeah.
Woof.
But hopefully it'll get better. I'm hoping that they're aiming in a direction that it should get better is what I should
say. Yes. Cause now they're already like going into like fighting bounty hunters. They're emphasizing more that they're on the run, which yes. I think they should have focused on to begin with. And it's just been this kind of rope a dope roundabout way of getting back to it.
Yeah. So. The last couple of episodes got lost in the monster of the week kind of trope. When it should be more of a, this is a giant story and they're on the run kind of a thing.
Yep. More bounty hunters. Show us Boba Fett. No, wait. He's still too young.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah, he's way too young still.
Oh, wait. He's like 10 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah, it's still too young to be Boba Fett. What are you gonna do? Pick him up by the cape, shake him around. I legitimately like figured the second
they cut Jango's head off, he became Boba Fett. So, like, that mentality automatically kicked in. Like, oh, I gotta kill these motherfuckers.
You all gonna die. But that doesn't matter because you know what premieres this week. What is gonna take my mind off of the Bad Batch?
Oh, yeah.
That's Loki. Loki is coming, and I can hardly wait.
Wednesday.
The one series that I have been eagerly waiting. I was fine with Vision and the Scarlet Witch, and Winter Soldier and the Snowman actually surprised me. But I think the Sleeping Giant has awoken, and we're getting it with Loki, with Owen Wilson and Hiddlestaff. And oh, I cannot wait. Because if they're taking the story from the Fantastic Four storyline, this is going to be great. I can't wait. So excited.
Well, and based on the trailers, because they keep putting more and more stuff out, this looks like it is going to be the most directly connected to the cinematic universe.
Morgana says Loki is her fictional husband, and she's so excited.
Agreed. Wait, no, he's not my husband. But yes, I agree.
He could be.
Well,
he could be. He could be building Lego sets with me instead of Tank.
Yeah. Ooh, that's true.
That would be.
Hey, maybe Tank wants to build Lego sets with Loki too.
I'd step down if it was Tom Hiddleston also. So, like, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine viewership would probably climb. No offense intended. Just
dramatically. Yeah. naked Lego building with Tom Hiddleston. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should throw that out and see like what he thinks.
We can make
like,
that happen.
Hey, we can make Tom that happen. Hiddleston, we have this great idea in case the Loki show doesn't work out for you. Yeah. Come on the Nerds That Know podcast and do naked Lego building.
In case that giant Disney contract doesn't work out for you.
Or in addition to, maybe he wants to do both.
Loki and Smurf build a Lego hut.
Well, it's got to be
focused. I'll even don like an apron and heels to serve him the snacks and drinks.
Oh, there you go.
It's a good plan. I like that plan.
But yeah, this story, based on everything they've shown, they've shown a lot of stuff, including that this is probably going to have a lead off directly following Endgame and directly leading into Thor 4.
So, yeah. This looks like it's going to be intense.
Yeah.
Do we know how long it's going to be?
I believe it's 8, if I'm not mistaken.
They say that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got 10.
It's possible. I'm sure they have enough to do 10, but I think they initially said it was going to be 8 episodes.
Okay.
I believe that you're right, Tank. I think that they did say that we're only supposed to be getting 8, but Again, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a couple more.
I would just be happy with like 8 episodes that are at least an hour. This 35 minute nonsense is driving me freaking buggy.
And I agree with that.
I don't mind the 45 minute, but like the 30 minute or like the 35 minute ones, those ones, they're just too short.
They're too short, and you got 10 minutes of freaking, you know, credits. I'm like, well, that was fucking pointless.
Yeah. Well, this one appears to be in the vein of the 45 to 50 minute per episode.
Okay, that's reasonable. That's respective.
Yeah.
As long as we are actually getting 45 minutes of episode.
I wouldn't count on that. I'd count on 35 to 40.
Yeah.
Based just on how they do their credit runs, I'm counting on 35 to 40.
And then you always have to watch the credits too, so...
Yeah,
because they have us trained. Let's face it, they train do as well.
Well, and they keep sneaking shit in there now. At this point,
yeah, they do. That's the fucking problem. Oh,
bastards!
It's like at first they were like, "Oh no, nothing in the credits for series," and then they bailed on that halfway through WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like you go to a movie now, and it doesn't matter what kind. Well, I don't want to say now because 2020 in my brain, we're just going to pretend it doesn't exist. When you would go to a movie, at this point, it didn't matter if it was an MCU movie or not. You just sit through the credits anymore because you don't know who's going to follow the Stan Lee, you know, protocols and just throw something fucking random in there.
You make it sound like there was a UN meeting and everyone came together and like, hey, let's do this.
Yes. Yes, I do. And I firmly believe that this is how it happened.
I don't know if there was a UN meeting, but I think there became a general consensus of, hey, look what those assholes at Disney are doing. Let's do that.
Fuck those guys.
This was before Disney. This was when it was still just Stan Lee going, I'll bet you I can get millions of adults to do what I want and sit there in silence with the lights on.
I think you're giving Stan Lee too much credit.
Huh? No, but there is no such thing as too much credit for that man.
Watch me while I pull Stan Lee out of a hat.
Yeah, I don't think Stan Lee.
You know, I think his head and Walt Disney's are in the same freezer.
I'm thinking the same thing. Any minute now, Mickey Mouse is going to come out with two lanterns.
That's got to be a little terrifying for Stan. Walt kind of leaned
a little crazy. Yeah.
A little away from the, you know, Stanley Leibowitz camp.
He walked away
from
the light.
You mean anti-Semitic?
He walked away from the light. Oh, no, I'm not ready for that.
Thank you.
Wow.
I think when that war happened, Stan and Walt were on opposite sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... bombshell, let's move on to a very happy thing for me that's not so incredibly upsetting as the anti-Semitic Walt Disney, and that is In the Heights.
Oh, God.
Hey,
tomorrow,
this
isn't it?
Really
tomorrow.
Good.
Huh? I, you know, I'm just tired of seeing the commercials. Every commercial has got In the Heights. And you know what? I'm actually looking more forward to this than the Steven Spielberg monstrosity that's going to hit after. In fact, I just don't want to see that.
You don't want to see the West Side Story anymore?
I really don't. I really don't. The Heights looks entertaining.
Oh, it looks amazing.
Like, musically, like, inclined and dancing and happiness, and everybody looks miserable in Spielberg's West Side Story.
And the storyline of In the Heights is fantastic. It was Lin-Manuel Miranda's first foray onto the Broadway stage, you know, back more than a decade ago. And it's just, this is absolutely fabulous. I'm super excited. They're saying that In the Heights is going to quickly overshadow A Quiet Place Part 2 with projected sales.
I mean, we'll see. The only thing I'm worried about with the In Heights is that it's coming out on HBO Max same time.
Yeah, but your theater fans who have been missing Broadway since it went dark,
are they gonna go see a movie though?
Yes.
Because my roommate is super into theater, and I was talking with her about it, and she's like, eh, I don't care. I'd rather just wait to see a play.
So I am not a person.
She's literally a stagehand, so, or stagehand.
I don't really go out to theaters to see movies. Like, just doesn't interest me that much. But I will go to see In the Heights. I'm very excited about it. You can, like, with a movie adaptation, you can do things bigger and more intricate than you can on stage. Even just watching, they put out the first 8 minutes, and they do something that you can't do on stage, which is have intermittent cuts of like what different characters are doing simultaneously.
And they do that on stage, but they do it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. But you can also, like, the dance numbers, you could have so many more extras, and you can just do things bigger and more intricate. Plus, you have Anthony Ramos, who played John Lawrence in Hamilton, along with Christopher Jackson, who played Washington, and Dasha Polanco, who was in Orange is the New Black. So,
The cast is incredible. Lynn was very closely involved with everything that's happening with this. I'm very excited. You know, I think that Rowan and I will go and squeal for a vast majority of the film.
Did you see his cameo?
Yes, as the Paragua guy. He's in the film multiple times.
I am very actually weirdly excited to see it, just because I respect his work tremendously. And that's why I want to see it. I don't know if it's going to overtake, though. That seems like a hard ask for that to overtake.
That's the current projection, is it's going to overtake and be the movie of the month until F9 comes out.
I don't know. If Conjuring couldn't do it, I don't. No, if this can.
Quiet Place 2 was something that's pretty big.
Just saying, that's what they're...
You know what the sad thing is? You're probably right about Fast 9, though. That's probably going to overtake all of them, which is a depressing thought.
Cars in space! You're fucking out of your head!
Dude, that movie, that series has made so much money, especially in the theaters.
Cars in
not for me.
Space.
Oh, I'm not going to go see it. I'm saying that movie makes a ridiculous amount of money in theaters. Those movies always perform high.
Yeah, I snuck into one of those movies. That's the extent of my contribution. And the power went out halfway through the movie, so I just walked out.
Oh, there
karma.
I've never seen one of them in theaters, so I don't know.
Cars in space. That's all I gotta say. Guards in space.
But let's getting back to the actual topic. Yes, In the Heights should be a big get, and for HBO Max, it's probably going to be their biggest thing to this point.
Yeah,
It will outperform Conjuring, which is on HBO Max too, as it opened in the theaters. So
well, I think the only thing
that sabotaged it.
I'm trying to remember which one got more. Was it Mortal Kombat or Godzilla?
Godzilla.
So that's its competition, then, is Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I think it'll overtake that easily.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know, man. Godzilla did a lot. Did a lot of work.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the projections for this film are...
Oh, they're insane. Absurd compared to what's been the norm for the last, I guess, all we can say is really is 2 months. So... Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm excited about it.
I am as well. I will definitely, I haven't decided if I want to see it in theaters or not. It's like, I will definitely be watching it, and we will have a review for it. But
you might have to do that. I don't think that's going to end up on the meat and potatoes circular. That's
not really something that I would see on meat and potatoes.
No, meat and potatoes is that's not a popcorn movie. I know what their tastes are, and That's not going to be it.
Are you getting ready to tell everybody one more time that you are not meat and potatoes?
I am not meat and potatoes. I have nothing to do
we
with it.
We know that you're not meat and potatoes.
Apparently, there's a conspiracy theory that he is.
So. There is.
Oh, yes, there's much conspiracy theory that Smurf is meat and potatoes.
I am not. I am not. Right. In fact, they've said that I can say that they're a doctor.
Oh, so you do know who it is?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who it is.
You know the Trigger Man.
Yeah, and I know exactly who the listener is and who is behind Meat and Potatoes. Meat and Potatoes is a doctor, and listener actually is a professor. Professor of music.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
The professor holds a class on influences of 60s and 70s music on today's music. And it's a very compelling course.
So you kind of just gave away who it is. I mean,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, but like,
now you know how to track them down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he's not here in Colorado. He's not local.
But musical influence of the 60s and 70s on today's culture, I'm going to assume.
And influences in today's music
is not going to have a huge demographic across the United States for music.
Actually, I thought the same thing and was surprised to find out that it is. Actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because he teaches like music theory, and he's very plugged into the music world.
Just Dr. Dre.
So it other is, than you the know fact what? That Smurf is not those
Fuck
people.
Dr. Dre. Fuck Dr. Dre. I got intimate knowledge of Dre. He can suck a fart out of my ass.
Those are strong words.
Yes, they are.
Not a great person. That's kind of.
No, he's not.
He's had some issues.
He is an issue. His face is an issue. Ugh! Anyway.
All right, kids.
Plus, Ice Cube is better.
Yes, he is. Nicer.
Do we have anything else to discuss tonight? Because that's the entire agenda that I had for the evening.
Already? We're done?
Yeah. That's 10 items.
That's so
sad. Try to keep it at 10 or less.
So sad.
Dang, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know what was talked about before, so I can't really.
We talked Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh, canceled.
We talked The Boys and Jensen Eccles. What's coming to Netflix this month? He-Man and She-Ra, whereas the new He-Man is sticking to the original source material and the newer She-Ra did not and sucked.
Yeah.
Sweet Tooth, Lego Masters and Star Wars Legos, and that's about where you caught up.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth is where I came in, so.
There you go. There you have it. There's the bombshell. Like, share, subscribe. If you have any questions for the Nerds That Know in any field topic or questions about our buildings, please, by all means, send them our way. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.